Ave Maria, welcome back to No Apologies. I'm Brother Joseph, and today we're going to begin a short series of vlogs looking at some of the major heresies which have shown themselves throughout the centuries. Knowledge of these errors and the reasons why they are errors can be helpful in any apologetics. So the first major heresy the Church struggled against already in the first century was from a group of Jewish Christian converts called the Judaizers, or sometimes referred to as the Circumcision Party. These people were converts to the faith who still held that observance to the Mosaic Law, and especially circumcision, was still necessary for salvation, and they sought to impose those burdens on the Gentile converts. This thought was present even as Sacred Scripture was being written, and we read about them in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? And Peter responded by recounting his vision of the unclean animals and how he was told to kill and eat and no longer call unclean what the Lord had made clean. Then also of the following conversion and reception of the Holy Spirit of the Gentile Cornelius and his family. It was soon after that that many of the disciples, including Paul and Barnabas, began to preach to the Gentiles on their first missionary journey. And when they returned to Antioch, they were again confronted by the Judaizers. In chapter 15, verse 1, they said, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And after much debate between them and Paul, it was decided to take the matter to the apostles. So in Jerusalem, at the first council, St. Peter again rose and recounted how the uncircumcised Cornelius and his family had been given the Holy Spirit just the same as them. Then continued in chapter 15, verse 1, saying, "Now therefore, why do you make trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they." And this silenced the Judaizers in Jerusalem, though they continued to influence many of the more distant churches which St. Paul had founded, trying to undermine his foundations and even his authority. And this is what he fought against so strongly in many of his letters. In Galatia, they had managed to confuse many of the believers about circumcision, and St. Paul upbraided them for deserting the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. And he explains the reason for the old law, which has now passed away, and that it was put in place because of our transgression to be our custodian until the promised offspring should come, as he says in Galatians 3:23-26. Now before faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint until faith should be revealed, so that the law was our custodian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer a custodian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. He writes against these men in his letters also to the Corinthians and to the Romans, and we find references in Titus. So the error of the Judaizers was in not recognizing that the old law was set up as only a temporary law. Having no saving power in itself, it was to be removed when the new law of grace was established by Christ. Knowledge of the Judaizers is extremely important when talking with those who hold a faith alone salvation. All of the scriptural texts used by these people to support their position are immediately seen through when they're understood in the historical context of fighting against these Judaizers. So when St. Paul says in Romans 3:28, "For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law," we understand he's speaking specifically about the observance of the Mosaic Law, and even more specifically about circumcision versus uncircumcision. So he's not in this verse or any other verses condemning good works, and this is how common sense is able to reconcile other scriptural texts like Galatians 5:6 where St. Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love." And also in James chapter 2, 24, where he says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." Thanks for joining me here on No Apologies. Ave Maria.